Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read two verses together in unison tonight. And then I will pray, you'll sit down, and I really believe with all my heart we're going to be out a few minutes before 7 tonight. And that is if you listen well. If you don't listen well and participate well, we're not going to get out of here till midnight. All right. So everybody in favor say amen. That's 10 o'clock. All right. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's read two verses together in unison. We're going to read verses 5 and 6 together. You ready? Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hang on. All right, let's pray, and we're going to get started. Father, we do thank you. Now, Holy Spirit of God, please, would you use this feeble attempt to describe your word? Lord, I sure would like to help your people. I'd like to help us all know you better and be better Christians because we came tonight. Sure would like myself to be a better Christian because of the truth tonight. So I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight's sermon is not going to be the most beautiful, impressive. It may not be one of those truths that at this moment you think you need. But I will say this, even though it is quite simple, even though I will even use a simple way to present the truth, I'm not embarrassed to preach it. I'm really not. It's going to be unbelievably practical. And my goal is to help every person in this room. I want the boys and girls to sit up, pay attention, listen to me. I want the teenagers to slap yourself and pay attention to me tonight. It's for you. If I were preaching in a Christian school chapel, it would be much like the type of message that I would preach tonight. But by the way, moms and dads, this one's for you too. This applies to you as much as it does anyone. So I'm going to ask you a favor tonight. I'm going to ask for your help in the sermon. In a little while, I'm going to divide the auditorium, one side and another side, and you'll understand where we're going. But I'll need your participation, all right? So keep your Bible open to Proverbs 3. We're going to use it. And so I'll need your help. Now, if you'll practice what is preached tonight, it will revolutionize your entire life. Let me say this, and in introduction, much of the confusion, much of the frustration, and much of the fear of the Christian life is wrapped up in us not doing our part and us trying to do God's part. Much of the bitterness that comes in Christian living is because sometimes we're trying to do God's part and God wants you to do your part and stay out of his part. See, I've been saved a long time. About 43 years or so, I've been saved. I've been preaching for 34 years. I've been in full-time Christian service over 25 years. I don't know how else to say this. It seems we humans think we know better than God. It amazes me how bitter people some get when God doesn't do what they expect him to do. We look at God like the genie in the bottle, and we want to rub the bottle and have God jump out and grant every request. And if he doesn't, we get mad at God because he didn't answer what we asked him. Yes, sir. Amen. And may I say this, God's not the genie in the bottle. If you have bitterness in your heart for anyone, this sermon's for you. And I'm going to make a statement here. There are people in this room you have never forgiven yourself and you're bitter against yourself. There are people in this room, the reason you struggle in your Christian life is you've never forgiven yourself. And may I say this? You're supposed to forgive you as much as you're supposed to forgive someone else. Now, hang on. If you feel like you pray and God doesn't hear you, this message is for you. If you're a newer Christian and things aren't going for you like you expected, join the crew. This one's for you. Maybe you thought, well, I got saved and I thought everything was going to be all better because I got saved. Then you find out sometimes it gets tougher. See, before, you weren't bothering the devil. Now that you're saved, you're bothering the devil. And he doesn't like that very well. I got done preaching the funeral yesterday, and I texted my son, and I said, 36 saved at the funeral. Shame on the devil. I just gave him a double shot. He texted me back, hoorah. I love it. I love it. If you're a person to where someone has forsaken you, someone has hurt you, this sermon is for you. Now, that just about includes everybody in this room. Man's biggest problem is he wants to be God. So, oh, I don't want to be God. Yes, you do. Because when you ask him for something and he doesn't give it to you, you get all bent out of shape. In other words, you want God to listen to you and give you what you want, but sometimes it's a matter of God said no, God said not right now, or God said you shouldn't have that. And yet you struggle accepting that. You see, from the very first sin, Satan tempted Adam and Eve with being like God, knowing good and evil for themselves. He said, wouldn't you like to be like God and know good and evil? Wouldn't you like to choose what is good and evil? And that has been the battle between our flesh and our spirit from the moment you got saved. The unsaved world, by the way, all unsaved people follow a path of thinking of humanism. It's man wants to be his own God. May I say this? Man makes a pretty bad God. Some men make pretty bad presidents, but we won't go there. I say that okay, Brother Brining. Whew, I got to be careful here. When you get saved, the battle of old nature versus new nature is you being God or God being God. That's what it is. This is why our world is so full of humanism. Because man wants to be his own God. Man is such a proud, arrogant creation. We actually think we can tell God what to do. My mom and I were talking, I don't remember what day it was, but recently, and they were talking about death and different things. They're not planning on dying anytime soon, but we talk about things long in advance so that we don't have to wait till there's a problem and figure things out. Now, let me say this. I said, Mom, when you and Dad get back, we need to sit down and make some plans. And I said, I know where all of the legal things are, but I want to get a little bit more specific. I said, you have to understand. I said, when you or Dad go to heaven, I plan on falling apart a little bit, but I don't want to fall apart so much that things don't get done right. And I said, I know I have a sibling that doesn't do well with this kind of stuff. He wants to avoid talking to you about it. She said, oh yeah. I said, and that's okay. That's how he'll deal with it, but somebody's got to get it together. I said, I'd rather get it together while I got it together than get it together when I don't feel like getting it together. She said, all right. She said, well, you know, and I said, I know we've got a lot of this already done, but I just want to make sure. I said, I don't have any premonitions. I said, I'm not expecting to lose you anytime soon, nor do I want to. I said, but I want to make sure things are the way you and Dad want them and that it's written down. I can go to a file and say, okay, this is where we're at and we're all good. And we'll do that. Say, why? I don't plan on losing them anytime soon. If you know my dad, he'll live to be 300 years old, as ornery as he is. And that's fine. I'm good with that. But we can get so proud, so arrogant. We think that we can tell God what to do and he will do whatever we say. May I say this? Unless God says it in that book that he's going to do it, you have no right to expect him to do anything. We ought to pray believing, but not be arrogant in our prayer. You know, you have no right to go to God and say, God, you said if I do this, you do that, you didn't do it, and what's wrong with you? Ooh, man, you've crossed a line. There's only one prayer that you can say to God, you promised this. And that is, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you. He says, you got it. Past that, you have no right to demand anything. Nothing. And even then, that's not a demand. You're just accepting it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. It's going to get easier as we go. You know, if it's not in the Bible, you have no right to say you know what God wants. None. Sometimes somebody will come to me and say, preacher, what do you think God's will is for us in this? And I'll say, I can't determine God's will for you. I can show you what the Bible says. Why don't we do what it says and let him decide? He'll tell us when we're not going the right direction, I promise you. Promise you. If I have a young person come to me and say, well, I want to date this person, but they're not even saved, I can go to the Bible and show them that's not God's will. I can. So, well, I don't agree with that. Doesn't matter what you agree with it. That's what God says. That's a fact. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. It's going to get real simple here in just a moment. Man, I don't care whether they call him Pope, Pastor, Preacher, or Priest, or whatever other things they call those guys. I don't care what they call them. They have no right to tell you, well, God said that you're supposed to give all of your money this week to the church. Okay, mark it down, they're an idiot. God didn't say that. That's called some money-grabbing preacher somewhere. Well, I see Bobby, and if he'll put his hands on the back of the TV screen, God will heal him. You'll feel it. Yeah, you'll feel it all right, but you ain't going to get healed. Lord have mercy. I grew up in northeastern Ohio. There was one of those Pentecostal Church of God idiots, Ernest Angel. Y'all remember him? About that tall, looked like a penguin, you know? The only man in the world I knew that could make a five-syllable word out of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, That's all I remember of the guy. He looked like a penguin and talked funny, amen? Just send me your seed money. Yeah, it's his seed, amen, not yours. Those guys are idiots. Now, tonight, I want to unlock one of the sweetest truths in the Word of God. Now, we have to understand what our part is. I want you to look at Proverbs 3, verse number 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Watch this. And he shall direct thy paths. Now, are you ready? Here we go. We're going to have some fun now. This side of the auditorium, I want you to say the first part of that verse with me. Ready? In all thy ways acknowledge him. You all be quiet over here for just a second. That sounded like a bunch of Presbyterians. I need you to say it a little louder, all right? You ready? Here we go. What's our part?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Very good. And the other part of that verse is God's part. This side of the auditorium, you get to do God's part. Aren't you so glad? Ellen thinks she's God, so I figured I might as well help you out. All right? Now, so man's part is?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
And God's part is? And he shall direct. You sound like a bunch of Methodists. Lord have mercy. I need you to say it a little louder than that. Now, what's God's part?
And he shall direct thy path.
All right. God better speak up a little louder before this is over. All right. So, man's part is?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
And God's part is? And
he shall direct thy path.
That's how simple it is. God says our part is in all our ways acknowledge him. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll direct your path. It does not say, if you acknowledge me, I'll give you everything you asked for. He said, I'll direct your path. Did you know sometimes when I was teaching my children to drive, there were times they would say, Dad, I got to take a trip. Two of my boys live in Kentucky. One of them said, Dad, what do you think about me going this route? I said, you can. It's going to cost you twice as much in fuel. They wanted to go down 81 and take 64 and shoot 64 straight across. Have you ever driven 64 all the way across West Virginia? You say, what is 64? That's the old cattle path. I'm telling you what, that is nothing but mountains from one side to the other. Yeah, buddy. And I said, you're more than welcome to go that way, but I'd never go that way. Well, it's only two freeways then. I said, yep. I said, you're going to be on 64 your entire life. You will hate yourself and me for telling you to go that way. Okay, Dad. So I told him how to go. Dad, that sounds complicated. No, it's real simple. 81 to 70, 70 to 68, 68 to 79, 79 to 64. Shoot it across, you're done. I said, whole lot less mountains, whole lot flatter, and a whole lot straighter. It's mileage-wise, it's a little close. I said, mileage-wise, possibly. Time-wise, it'll save 2 hours of your trip, and your knuckles won't be white when you get there. All right, I'll do it. One of my boys decided to go from Lexington up to see my grandmother in Ohio one weekend. He said, Dad, I think I'm going to go this way, this way. I said, don't do that. I said, shoot 64 over to 77. I said, shoot 77 straight up. I said, you'll be there in no time. Well, I can go this way. And I said, son, listen to me. GPS is a wonderful thing, but GPS has never driven anywhere. I said, how many million miles have you driven? No, not that many. I said, I've driven that a whole lot. I said, please, just trust me on this one. He said, all right, Dad. And he was glad because there was snow. And he found out one of the routes he was going to take was blown shut with snow. He said, man, am I glad I listened. I said, yeah, I am too. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes we think we know what's right. But you need somebody to direct you another way. When I told my son how to get to Lexington, I didn't want him to not go to Lexington. I wanted to take him a different path that was better for him to take. When one of my boys wanted to go to Canton to see his great-grandmother, it's not that I didn't want him to get there. I wanted him to take a different path. Everybody understand that? So there are some times when man does his part that God says, you're on the right track and we're going to end up the same way, but we're not going to take the same drive you're expecting. Not at all. Here's the trouble. Most of the time we say, God, this is what I want and this is how I want you to do it. And if you don't do that, I'm not listening to you. That's where we get problems. Well, my puppy dog died and I didn't get the promotion at work I wanted, so I believe God wants me to move. Oh, wait a minute here. God didn't say anything in the Bible that you moved because you didn't get a promotion at work. Nowhere. By the way, I know people that do this kind of stupid stuff. And hang in there. Man's part. You've heard me say this before. 99% of the will of God in your life is found right there. Right there. So, what's man's part again?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Whew. Let's try that again. Man's part is what?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Man, you're getting there. So, if we will acknowledge him. Now, that word acknowledge is a very interesting word. The word acknowledge means submit your will to. Submit your will to. Let me see here. Thomas, come on up here for a second. I will not embarrass you, I promise. You have to sit by your mother. That's enough embarrassment. Come on up here. I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to go sit right on that second chair from the center aisle for me. All right? Just have a seat there. Now, that is acknowledgement. Somebody asked him to do something, and without question, he did it. Can I tell you something? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now, I told him I wasn't going to hurt him. I wasn't going to embarrass him. Say, what is that? So I can direct his path. Folks, if you'll just acknowledge him, he will direct your path. You can go back and have a seat. See, that was harmless. Amen. I want my money when you're done, too. No. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. The trouble is, most of us don't spend enough time in that book to know what that book says. That's why you need to go to the man of God. I don't know more than every person in this room. I'm going to make a statement here I don't like to make. I probably know more about that book than any person here, though. I don't want control of your life. I just want you to make sure that it's in line with that book right there. That's all I ask. By the way, if you don't ask me, it's okay. I'll let you make the mistake because I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, you're stupid. You didn't come see me about that. It's too late. It really is. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone against the man of God? Man, I fear telling this story. It was my senior year of college. I was going to graduate in May. I was getting married in June. And my wife, I was going to put her through her senior year of college. And I knew Brother Hiles well enough to know, Brother Stoltz and Brother Hawkins, you're gonna be nodding your head in the Williamsons. If you graduated and you were still going to be there a year, his first question was going to be, how about you stay and get your master's? Now, I'll be honest with you. I finished 4 years of college in 4 years, and I was dead dog tired. I was a Bible club leader. I actually had two Bible clubs. I was a bus captain. I was taking 18 to 21 hours of class. I was working 40 hours a week, driving an hour to and from work. I was dead dog tired. I was trying to date. I was engaged. My wife will tell you, I fell asleep on more dates than I stayed awake for. And it's because I just was so tired. I'm not kidding. I'm not proud of that. It's just a fact. She's a good woman, let me tell you. She put up with it because, man, I'd be sitting there and she'd say, why don't you go back? No, it's okay. Did I miss something, you know? I was a good listener, amen? I went to him for my senior appointment. I was scared to death. We talked. He said, Craig, have you ever thought about getting your master's? I said, no, sir, I don't want to. I'm tired, and I don't want to go to school anymore. He said, all right. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to audit a few classes each semester, just to get some things that I missed going through the first time, just because I want to learn. I said, it allows me to stay in my college ministries and help Brother Owens with the Bible clubs. I'll keep my Bible club. I'll be able to dedicate more time to it. And I got to put my wife through her last year so that we, when she graduates, we can get out of here and do what God wants. I thought, I can't believe you just told Jack Hiles that. He is going to pick you up, chew you up, skin your hide, and then spit you out the door. He looked at me and said, sounds like a good plan. I said, Really? He said, yeah. Whew. I found out he only did that to two people in 5 years. I was one of them. And I was really glad. I didn't ask him, are you sure? Mm-mm. I got, it sounds like a good plan. That's all I did. Whew, I'm done. See you later, preacher. I'm out of here. You say you didn't. Yes, I did. I was done. Got all I needed. Now, wait a minute. Came time for my wife to graduate. I went back to see him. We went to see him. He called our apartment one day and set up an appointment for me to meet with a man that I eventually went to work with out in California. He personally called and asked me to meet with him, and I did. And we went out there and worked. Now, wait a minute. I made sure I ran it by the preacher. We got out to California. We hadn't been there long, found out we were in a mess. Oh, was it a mess, amen. My poor wife and I, we were 2,000 miles from anybody that knew us, that cared about us, and we were better off being in Africa than Southern California, let me tell you. Because we just did not mix, and the church was changing, the pastor was changing. It was not a good situation. Sitting in my office one day about to go preach chapel, and my phone rang, and the secretary said, it's a lady named Irma. I said, really? I said, put her through. I picked up the phone, and in a moment, this sweet little voice, Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney, Brother Hiles' secretary. I said, yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? She said, Brother Hiles wants to talk to you. Could you hold? Yes, ma'am. If I got time to go down the hall? I mean, I said, what for? She said, I don't know. I'm just making the call. I said, oh, boy. About 30, 40 seconds later, I hear this, Craig, this is Brother Hiles. Yes, sir. You laugh. I'm not kidding. He said, Craig, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, do you want to stay? I said, preacher, it's not a matter of me want to, I can't. I said, I don't know how you found out what you know, but if I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor in this church. I said, and that's not right. I said, and if I stay loyal to the pastor, I have to change my principles, and I'm not changing my principles for him, for you, or for anybody else. I thought, why did you say that? And then he said, good, I'll help you. He said, how's your wife? I said, we're making it. He said, you go home, put your arms around your wife, tell her Brother Hiles called, and he's going to help you. If I could have reached through that phone and kissed that man, as ugly as he was, I'd have done it. Man. Wait a minute. I didn't make a move without checking with the man of God first. Not a one. I was working 60, 70 hours a week at the church. I was working a part-time job painting just to pay the bills out in California. In 1990, our rent for a little 700-square-foot house was $1,000 a month, plus utilities. I could mow my grass in 5 minutes, front and back. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. You know what? God blessed in all of that because we acknowledged him. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Will you give God veto power in your life? Will you let God say no and it not be that bad? You know, God can tell me no, and it's all right. I might not like it, but it's okay. We were in California. Our oldest was 4 months old. He came down with pneumonia, bronchiolitis, asthma, and RSV all at one time. We got the phone call. He's not breathing. Get here as soon as you can. And they put him on a vent that night. Arterial lines, vent tubes, everything. My wife and I knelt in a dark waiting room by ourselves. She and I both looked to heaven and said, God, he was yours before he was ours. If you want him that bad, you can have him, but you're going to have to help us. There's been many times since then I wish God would have taken him. No, I'm teasing about that. Can I tell you something? God just wanted to see if he had veto power. Oh, we got to lead doctors and nurses to the Lord. God's used that for us to help people all over this country. I don't want to go through it again, but I'm glad we got to go through it. We acknowledged him. He directed our path. Wow, what a difference. Will you let God say no and it not ruin your life? Can I tell you something? When's the last time you just spent time asking God anything? You tell him, but when's the last time you asked him? And say, God, this is what I'd like, but if that's not what you want, it's okay. You know, kind of like you talk about where you're going to go to dinner. Where would you like to go? Oh, it doesn't matter. What do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't care. Whatever you want. You know, that argument there. If you could have that argument with God, it sure would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you like to be so pliable by God that you asked him about everything? Man. So, man's part is, are you ready over here? Everybody looking at me? Ready? Man's part is?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Good. And God's part is, wake up on this side. God's part is what? He shall direct thy paths. Very good. You know what? God does not speak in mysteries, puzzles, and spooky situations. I get sick and tired of these so-called spiritual preachers. Well, let me show you the hidden things of God. God doesn't hide his will from anybody. Why in the world would God want to hide his will from you? Well, I saw this car, and it was on dry pavement, but it was skidding sideways, and that was God telling me, I got to go buy a new car. No, God was telling him, get out of the way, ding dong. You laugh, but that's how people are. They get into this emotionalism of things. Well, I gotta. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this one. I got a job offer in another state, and I believe it's God's will. They didn't tell you. They put out 42 resumes, made 2 trips, and they had already interviewed 3 times. But God just mysteriously told me I should go. No, he didn't. I don't ever plan to leave here, just so you know. I've had job offers my whole ministry. My wife will tell you. I've had job offers in my hometown. And when they come to me, I don't go after them. You know, I've never had a resume. Not one time. I've worked in 5 churches, have had no resume, one of which was for Brother Hiles. He called me, asked me to come work on his staff, and then one of his men called me one day and said, Brother Hiles needs your resume. I said, what for? He already hired me. He said, well, you got to send me your resume. I said, Brother Hiles, I have my phone number. If he wants it, he can call me. I said, I don't have one. A week later, he called me back. Where's your resume? I said, I don't have one. He said, but brother, I said, if Brother Hiles wants it, he has my phone numbers. He can call me if he needs a question answered. That man was mad at me, Brother Hawkins. Oh, he was mad. If I told you who it was, you'd laugh. I got to working on staff there. He said, Craig, he said, did so-and-so call you? I said, called me several times. He said, what did they ask you about? I said, they asked me if I had a resume. I said, I don't have one. I said, I've been working for you. Do you need a resume? I said, somebody taught me you don't put out a resume. You let God call you. He chuckled. He laughed. He said, is that what you told him? I said, mm-hmm. He said, good for you. That's all he said. That's the last time I ever heard of it. It was great. I still don't have a resume. I've helped people fill out thousands of those things. I don't have one. God knows my phone number. God knows my address. If he wants me to move, he'll let me know. He makes it real clear. Trust me. I said for 22 years, I didn't ever plan on pastoring. If God wants me to pastor, he's going to blow me up with a stick of dynamite and show me. He didn't tell me he'd use a whole box of nitroglycerin. But he did. Okay. I have no problem. I never said I wouldn't do it. I just said I didn't plan on it. You know what? It was just like breathing. It was God's will. Now, wait a minute. You know, God doesn't speak in these little puzzles. Well, my puppy dog piddled on the carpet over here, and it's in the shape of Alaska, so I'm supposed to go to Alaska. Now, you laugh. I've heard things that stupid. Amen, Brother Stoltz?
That's right.
Who in the world's going to get the map out and figure out what shape that is anyway? Get the resolve out and clean it up. That's not God moving. That was your puppy dog moving. Isn't that what some people live, though? Now, God gave us a Bible to live by. Man shall not live by bread alone, watch this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't say what your puppy dog piddles on or what this is or what that is. It wasn't a mystery. He said, I gave you enough in that book right there to live your life very happily. I promise you. It sounds so easy because it is. I'm going to make a couple more statements and then I'm going to apply it and be done. The plane's coming in for a landing. Hang on. This garbage of, well, I feel led. That's Pentecostal. God doesn't lead outside his word. I'll read what I put on here. My dog threw up on my pillow, so that means I need to move. Yeah, it means me need to move off your pillow, amen? You know, you can't do right in the wrong place. Do you know, I believe if my son, he's wanting to start a church. And at first he was talking about a certain place, and I said, Josh, go see Brother Fugit. Let me tell you something, son. I know what you want, but you go do what the man of God advises you to do. I said, just listen to the man of God. He's your preacher. Go do what the preacher said. I said, have you ever thought of this? And I gave him a thought. He said, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, he went to see the preacher. He told the preacher what he wanted to do. And he said, my dad said I ought to say this to you. He did. He said, Dad, Brother Fugit all of a sudden got real happy, got real excited. He said, I told Brother Fugit whatever he wanted, I was willing to listen. And they took a spin off of what I suggested, and Brother Fugit is about as happy as a pig in a slop bucket right now. And so's Josh, and I'm happy for him. You say, oh, that was what you getting with. No, if I got what I wanted, he'd be here. Guess what? I'm not going to get what I want. Matter of fact, I haven't even asked God for it. Everybody doing all right? You say, why? Because he and I wouldn't work together long well. I know him too well. I'm not going to do that to him. I'd kill him. Or he'd kill me, one or the other. Now, wait a minute. You'll never doubt God's leading. Did you ever notice? You might not always know where you're supposed to go, but when you're doing something you're not supposed to do or going somewhere you're not supposed to go, God always lets you know. In other words, keep doing what you're supposed to do. God will let you know if you're not making the right-hand turn. Promise you. Why would God want to hide his will from you? Now, I'm going to finish very quickly here. The whole key to that is this right here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Here's the whole part of this that man gets in the way of. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Boys and girls, look at me right now. Look at me. You quit asking mom and dad why you're supposed to do something. Acknowledge them and do it. Don't worry about the why. Obey. When you have obedience, then you'll understand. And you might not understand right away, but in your obedience and not questioning the authority, you will have the right path. Quit questioning your teachers. By the way, I was good at that. Man, I hated algebra. You're looking at one man that hates algebra worse than I was going to say worse than a Southern Baptist, but no, I hate it. I hate it almost as bad as the Pope. Not him personally, but the position. I hate algebra. Bob Samsel, my high school algebra teacher. We were doing quadratic equations. God have mercy. I raised my hand. He said, "Mr. Bush, what's your question?" I said, "What stupid Greek sat down 2,300 years ago and figured out this stuff would work?" And he looked at me. I said, "How am I going to use this?" I said, "I'm never going to use..." By the way, that was 30 years ago. I still have never used it. Now, I'm for you taking it. I'm for you learning it. And I understand it teaches you character. But I hate some character lessons. And I've been a Christian school principal a long time. I still hate algebra. Sorry. I don't use it. Give me business math. Man, I love that stuff. I use that every day of my life. Very little of it's algebra. Geometry, at least you could draw pictures. I mean, at least I could figure something out with a picture, amen? There are no pictures in algebra. And what pictures are there? They got some weird stuff wrapped up in that thing. Now, wait a minute. Quit trying to understand. Just obey. When I quit questioning, he would look at me and say, "Mr. Bush, quit questioning me. Just do it. If you'll get to the point where you'll quit questioning me, eventually you'll understand it." You know, he taught me something very important that day. Let me get on mommies and daddies. Quit trying to question your boss all the time. Why? Just do what the boss says. Just do what the boss says. It works out a whole lot better. Now, if they ask you to do something immoral or wrong, we're not talking about that, but your general work, you do what you're supposed to do. You don't have to understand why. No, it might not make sense to you, and you might have a good idea, but you don't happen to understand somebody above you found out your idea didn't work a long time ago. Do you know in all these years they still haven't reinvented the wheel? It still works. They put different kinds of tars on it. Amen, Brother Mark. They do all kinds of things with it, but the wheel still works. Everybody wants to make it better. Everybody wants to improve it. Guess what? For over 100 years, the basic structure of the tire hasn't changed a whole lot. Did you know that the basic structure of the automobile hasn't changed much in over 100 years? Same premises used that was used in 1905. Go look at it. Flywheel, everything. Now, we've made some improvements on it, yes, but the same basic premise is still there. Say why? Because we made a lot of mistakes on them things. Look how many, of you remember the old Pacers, amen, or the Pinto? Yeah, buddy. You know, we made, you know, the Edsel back in Brother Taylor's day. You say, what's an Edsel? That's an aircraft carrier with four wheels. And a goofy looking front end on it, amen? Now, wait a minute. We all make some mistakes. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Quit trying to understand God. Do you know something? I don't want a God I can understand. If I can understand God, I'm greater than God, and I am not greater than God. Well, I just don't understand why God... You don't have to understand. He's God, not you. You don't have to understand. You have to trust. When that little 2 or 3 or 4 year old looks at you, "Well, I don't want to do that till I understand." Who do you think you are? Woo-hoo-hoo. How do you think God feels about you? Who are you to tell God you're not going to do it till you understand? Throw your hands on your hip. "Well, I knew what I did one time when I did that, and I know what my daddy did too. And I didn't do it the second time because I learned real fast." Amen? Don't do that. Quit trying to do God's part. Let's just acknowledge Him and let him direct our paths. Don't worry about the understanding. You obey, you acknowledge him, let him direct your paths. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Unbelievably simple truth. We just took the whole Christian life and narrowed it down into about 40 minutes of simplicity. But I wonder how many times all of us are guilty of trying to do God's job. I wonder.